Hey, welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. So come in and chat with us regarding questions today around Microsoft Graph connectors and Universal Actions, the things we announced during Build. And with me is Jeremy Take. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Rabia. We've got some few other experts on here too, so I expect we should all introduce ourselves and then we can get rolling.
Yes.
So, Rabia, do you want to introduce yourself first for those that don't know?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about myself. I'm Rabia. I'm a cloud advocate for Microsoft 365. Jeremy, you can take it next.
Yeah, so I'm a principal PM lead in Microsoft on the Microsoft Graph team. My team, which is below, and a few others, work directly with all the large ISVs and big enterprise customers, trying to get them to use all our latest and greatest technology. Nick, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Nick Chalabois. I'm a senior program manager on Jeremy's team. I focus on customer and partner experience. And Brian.
Hello, everyone. Brian T. Jacket, also a member of the Microsoft Graph CPX team, senior PM. My specialty area is in graph connectors, so one of our topics for today. Definitely like to hear questions, feedback, other kind of things that we can bring back to our product groups.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at the questions. We need to warm up a bit and get people to engage. So maybe, Jeremy, we could start off with some a summary of the announcement that we made for Build.
Yeah, sure. So feels like it was a long time ago already, but it really wasn't. I guess because of the ramp up of us working with all these partners to get them to showcase these things at Build, like starting that back in January, I guess, Brian, right, with the Graph Connectors work. So I guess to summarize with the work we did in that particular session that Robbie and I presented in, from a Graph Connectors perspective, you know, we shipped some really cool new integrations. So at Build the previous year and Ignite, we talked about Graph Connectors as a way to bring your data into Microsoft 365. And have it be part of our Microsoft search experience in office.com and the SharePoint search experience. And at Build, we announced that coming soon, you'll be able to have that same search experience inside of Microsoft Teams and inside of Windows 10 search that you'll kind of see at the bottom of your screen if you're on a Windows machine right now. And so the idea of, as a either a customer building integrations to their own systems or as an ISV being able to integrate into our experiences with their own product data across all those different experiences that their customers use day in, day out. And then on top of that, we talked about activities where inside of office.com, which I use every day, you'll see not only our documents, Word documents, PowerPoint documents, Excel documents that maybe I've created or Brian has modified today or Nick shared with me overnight while I was sleeping from Canada. It's a really easy way to see all the different activities that are going on inside of your organization. And now ISVs and customers can put their own system information into the activities feed. So we kind of previewed that and announced a private preview specifically that we my team, Brian's running actually, to kind of play with that a bit more so we can get ready to launch that into beta preview in coming months. So if you are interested in signing up for that preview, it's just aka.ms, our usual short links, search dev private preview. That kind of takes you to a form to fill out to onboard there. So there's some really cool announcements around Graph Connectors. But what did you announce around Universal Actions as part of that?
Yeah, so we announced unifying the action models in Adaptive Cards in its new version 1.4. They're all GA right now for Teams and Outlook. So basically what it means is for a developer right now, they have multiple action models for their application in Teams or in Outlook. So that is now unified. So you can use action.execute instead of action.submit or action.http. And what that does is basically, you can just, you know, develop once, deploy anywhere kind of a thing. So another thing we announced was around a single backend now for your Teams and Outlook application. So, you know, you don't have to have your own web service or HTTP backend for Outlook. You can just use the same what you have for Teams app, which is the Azure Bot framework. There were some cool, really cool features like user-specific views on Adaptive Cards currently you have just one view of your adaptive card, whatever user you are. So based on roles, you can change the look or actions that you have in your adaptive card, which I think is the one I'm really excited about. And also some other features that comes with universal actions like sequence workflow and refresh, auto refresh of the card, etc. Refresh is already there in Outlook, but now you get it in Teams as well. So that's the cherry on top. And we also announced the messaging extension in Outlook. I think it's coming. Dev preview is coming soon. I don't have the dates for it, but yeah, this is really cool. So you can have your search-based messaging extensions showing up in Outlook as well. So all you have to do from a dev experience perspective is configure the channel for Outlook. Yeah, that was basically the announcements around universal actions.
There was a lot to kind of grok there. So I'd highly recommend you checking out the recording of that particular thing, which is available on demand with all of the other build videos, actually. Yeah. I'm using the YouTube playlist that's available on Microsoft Dev on my smart TV. And so whenever I'm cooking dinner or whatever, I'll just go pick a breakout featured session to put on while cooking dinner. And there's just so much information you can grab for those short videos, which is great.
Oh, yeah. There's so much videos I have to watch.
I see a few questions coming in. So how is this new search experience different than what currently exists in things like Teams? And that comes from Jessica. Brian, do you want to just explain what that looks like from a Teams perspective now versus what they have, you know, in the current build that they're seeing publicly at the moment?
Absolutely. So if you kind of look back in history, you'll see that from Microsoft's standpoint, we've really been working towards this, you know, universal search kind of approach where, hey, I've got a search box in SharePoint and in Office and in Teams and a lot of other areas. And, you know, a long time back, that was just for literally the content in that source, you know, for files in SharePoint or Teams chats and whatnot. And over time, we've been working more towards like a universal search. You know, no matter where I'm at searching, I can go and actually find the content in other repositories. But so far, that's really been just for first-party content. So again, you know, I've got my PowerPoint files, I've got my Excel files, I've got Teams chats and events and so forth. And really, with Graph Connectors, we're looking to open that door up so that it's not just first-party content. It's actually going to be third-party content in there as well. Might be that I've got, you know, files in G Drive. I've got some CRM records in Salesforce. I've got other content that I want to find in other repositories. And so with Graph Connectors, we're really making that much more of a possibility for that so that, hey, I can have that first-party content, that third-party content. Doesn't matter where it's at or which hub I'm searching from. Instead, I can actually find the content no matter where I'm at and across all a lot of different data sources like that.
Yeah, and I think the cool part is, I think in the demo that we showed in my particular session, when you did the search in office.com or Teams, there were suggestions that said, you know, although we didn't find search results within Microsoft 365 content, it was like, we found some search results for Go One. And then when you click on that Go One result, it actually then expands and shows you all the Go One results there too. So it's a very good way of promoting your internal systems that you might be trying to plug into with Graph Connectors. Also for ISV partners, it's great to kind of get their logos showcased and prominent inside of the search experiences that you see, you know, across Teams, Windows, Office.com, and SharePoint. And I think this one is a question for you, Rabia, so I'll ask it to you so you can answer it. Stannis, it says, what sort of impact do you imagine we'll see by moving everything to the bot framework on the back end?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I can think of as a developer is basically the DevX experience around it. And now you may have multiple backends for multiple applications, and you probably just want one backend that you can take care of, that you can maintain, etc. So it's up to you. For if you want to use the new action model, then yes, you can. For Outlook, if you have a separate backend for it, you can use it with the same one that you already have maybe in Teams. So it's more than impact. I would say it's simplified things for you. You don't have multiple things that you need to manage. You just have this one bot that you have to manage. And I think they are also having plans on you know, other custom applications, not just Outlook and Teams, but also bring in custom application unified together here as well. So I think it's a great move from the engineering team to simplify things from a dev experience perspective.
Yeah, and I think that's the primary experience they're building all these things in. So I think, you know, the benefit of doing that is that the samples are going to be led by the bot framework, whereas if you decide to use your own tech stack, you may need to work some of that stuff out yourself. So it's going to accelerate you quicker if you go down that path, I think, is probably my experience, the way we do things at Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another question by Khalid. I feel like I'm hearing so much, it's emphasized, about things around Graph and Graph Toolkit recently. Where does Microsoft see the roadmap for these initiatives going? So that's,
I was
going to pick that.
Call that a bit of a high level, and then maybe we can ask others for opinions here. From a graph perspective, you know, obviously the Microsoft Graph has been around for, you know, 5 odd years now, and it, you know, is the API for Microsoft 365 data. And so, you know, at the team that we're within underneath Inner Arena, so you would have seen in the keynote with Jeff Tepper, is we're focused on making sure that every product that's within Microsoft 365 is servicing all of their data inside of Microsoft Graph. Now, historically, that wasn't true. And that comes from our SharePoint server days and Exchange server days and Active Directory server days, where each product group had their own APIs and their own ship cycles. But as we moved to the cloud and we went to Business Productivity Online Suite and Office 365 to now Microsoft 365, we essentially had to make sure that we were having one API service layer for developers to use and ensure that all those different product groups that started off as those, you know, three, but now involves Teams and involves To-Do and Planner and OneNote. And, you know, there's a multitude of about 50 different engineering groups that we work with that have their APIs on the Microsoft Graph. And so that is the strategic direction, and it benefits you as a developer because it's one SDK, it's one set of docs, it's one shape of API that we have API architects reviewing and making sure that there's a consistency across them. And then, so that's really kind of where we're going. That is that strategic direction that we're pushing through. And so as new products get introduced, you know, those APIs will show up on the graph. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about Viva Topics at Build and Ignites of the last few rounds. And, you know, those teams are busily working on shipping their APIs onto the Microsoft Graph, for instance. And so each product group has different timelines they're working towards. And that's where you'll see, you know, those things coming through on the Microsoft Graph. The way to plug into that is by looking at the blogs, is to essentially check our changelog that you can see at graph.microsoft.com. That's where you'll see the new APIs coming through. And, you know, transparently, we are getting a bit better, which is something our team's actually leading now to communicate the roadmap and what things are coming. And that right now you can see some things on the Microsoft 365 roadmap, but not all the things that are coming through. And we're trying to get better about communicating what things are coming down that pipe so that it isn't just a Microsoft event like Build or Ignite where we're announcing today in preview. You'll actually be able to see, you know, 6 months out what things are coming through there. And then in addition to that, the Microsoft Graph Toolkit, which started out with Nikhil Matulev and Beth Pan and another Nick Voigt driving this, and then Elise in Unisor kind of as the PM now, is driving this notion of building these web components which are binded to Microsoft Graph APIs. And so we've started to look, well, we initially started with like people cards and channel pickers and calendar agenda controls, and now we've just announced all the file pickers and file card views. And so what we're doing is that team is picking off the most commonly asked for things driven by an open source project on GitHub. And so they are web components, and we have a React essentially wrapper to make it easier to use those web components in a React environment. And we're seeing a lot of interest in those things. So the best way to plug into the Graph Toolkit as the kind of the bindable web component controls that you can use to kind of accelerate your development is to go and tap into that GitHub repo and look what things are coming through their releases, and to give feedback in the issues. Or, you know, it's open source. If you want to contribute to it and improve it, which we've seen a lot of in the last 6 months, you know, we're actively looking for more community contributions as well. So, you know, the Toolkit is a really exciting place to be, and they've just got a bunch more developers of funding for the next semester coming up. So you can start, you'll definitely start to see a lot more web components popping through that. And the team is actively looking for that feedback for those GitHub issues. So yeah, there's definitely a lot that you'll hear us pushing at Build and Ignite and Next Build around, you know, the graph in general as the API to our Microsoft 365 data. but also, excuse me, is the Graph Toolkit as that way of building more, you know, they look the same as what our web components look like when we're showing calendars or showing people cards in our experiences that you can take advantage of in your web experiences as well.
Yeah, and Jeremy, if I can just add to that as well, right? We, another great way of people to learn about what's coming down the pipe, right, is to join the monthly community calls that we have, right? So on a monthly basis, we have community calls that are open to anybody, right, where we have folks from the Microsoft Graph Toolkit team coming in and presenting new features that they're about to roll out. We have people from product groups coming in and talk about new APIs that are being rolled out as well. So definitely, I encourage you folks to join those monthly calls.
Is there a link that we can, you know, sort of share or something for these calls or?
Yes, there is one at aka.ms/Microsoft Graph Call, I believe is the URL for that. We'll double check that before we toss it up onto the screen really quick.
Yeah, so that was timely because Khalid had the same question. How can I access those monthly community calls?
Yeah, they're a great way to keep up and see more faces inside the walls of Microsoft, of the different PMs that own the different features that are coming through. And the PMs love it because they get to present their new features and interactively get that feedback from you all on what you like and what you don't like. So the more people we can have in those calls, you know, the better. And so, we really appreciate everyone jumping on those calls and giving that feedback.
And if we didn't mention it, the monthly community calls happen on the first Tuesday of the month from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So feel free to join in with us. Lots of lively conversations, lots of great feedback shared. And we every once in a while even have some community folks kind of sharing about here's things that they've built with Microsoft Graph, or here's different things that they're working on that others can learn from, be able to incorporate into their own products. So great way to share information and be able to get some inspiration as well.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So I'm just looking again. There are no new questions. So I have a hot question. It's probably like a very broad question, but we've talked so much about Microsoft Graph connectors in our build session. I'm just trying to understand what is really the value of bringing in external data into M365?
I can probably take a quick stab at that one. Yeah, so a lot of times what we see is that, you know, someone may have built a third-party service, a website, or they've got a Teams app or something. And really, we see a lot of our users, you know, they're already in Outlook, they're already in Office.com, they're in Word, you know, a lot of other kind of Microsoft properties. But to be able to kind of quickly and easily get back to your flow of, hey, I've got some data that lives in Salesforce or ServiceNow or some other external source. You know, if I'm already in all these other native Microsoft 365 experiences, how can I quickly and easily find that data that lives somewhere else? You know, so we see there's a lot of things that just by being on the Microsoft 365 platform that you'll just have as kind of benefits, you know, whether it's search, whether it's the compliance pieces, whether it's the intelligent discovery, a lot of kind of areas like that. And so being able to essentially ingest that data into Microsoft Graph really gets you a number of those different experiences essentially just out of the box. You know, I don't need to go and index the content. I don't need to worry about like, how am I actually going to render this in a search result, or how do I do things like e-discovery over that content? And so we hear from customers on a regular basis of, you know, I will not deploy this solution if I can't take these types of actions with it. You know, can't search for it, can't do e-discovery, if you can't do, you know, find the things that you need, that's kind of a deal breaker. So this gives an opportunity for third parties and even for like enterprise developers to be able to support those things with a minimal amount of effort. So really just kind of light up those experiences by doing that ingestion process. And then be able to see it in a lot of different, you know, areas. Again, you know, we got 140 million different users using Teams on a daily basis. So be able to tap into that market, be able to, you know, showcase the content that you're working on in those experiences, and really get it to the fingertips of your users as quickly and easy as possible.
That's great. Now we have another question from Sarosh. Is it possible to search not just in emails but also in their attachments?
I mean, I was just testing that because I was sanity checking in my Outlook experience. If I like looking at Nick here, he sent an email with an attached Word document, which is a cloud document because it's in his OneDrive. And if I do a search for what's in the content of that document, not just the file name, it'll actually pop that Word document up that's part of an email that Nick sent me. So I guess the answer is yes, it is doing that search across the attachments and the emails. Now, we're in dog food, so it might not have made it all the way out to the public rings. But my experience has been that that's been the case for a while, but maybe someone else can comment on that.
Yeah, and I just take a quick look at our documentation for the Microsoft Search APIs that are on Microsoft Graph. So if you go to, I think it's like slash search, is that right? And you do a post on there. Yeah, so slash search slash query. You can do a post to that, and you're able to search through a number of different properties. So it could be either messages, it could be users, it could be files. But specifically underneath the messages one, you can actually search for like the message itself or attachments that are on the messages as well. Someone posted the link to the documentation on that. So feel free to take a look at that. That'll be for a Microsoft Graph query going against searching for emails or attachments as well.
That's really cool. And sorry to cut you off, Brian. That was a really good discussion, but we had a question, but we'll come back to that again. How actively is this office.com used, since you mentioned about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with our counterparts over in the folks actually run office.com, they shared with us that we actually have 110 million monthly active users, which when I heard that number, I was like kind of blown away. You know, that's again, a staggering amount. And kind of similar to Jeremy, like for a while, you know, I was always, hey, I've got, you know, Bing, or I've got the SharePoint page is my homepage for this. But recently, you know, people are sharing a lot of documents with me. They're sharing a lot of items, other kind of things. And for me, it was like, well, where did I get that? Was it in Teams? Was it in Outlook? Was it in, you know, some other kind of mechanism? And being able to go to office.com and just literally filter for, oh, you know, here's the last day's worth of things that were shared with me. Here's who it was by. Here's the link to the file. It was literally going from like a 5-minute search across multiple tools to now like 10 seconds. And to me, that was a huge deal. So now I, just like Jeremy, I literally go there on almost a daily basis now to find my files, to go and find things I'm working on and quickly get back to what I was doing.
I use it too.
Content. Sorry, Arbia.
No, sorry, you go ahead.
I think the discoverability of content through having that feed is super useful for me as a, like a lead of, you know, 8 folks now, to be able to see what they're working on and be like, oh, I can go review that content now. It's like a good reminder for me to go look in. You know, if they're creating documents in our team document library, I can jump in and see the PowerPoint they're working on and give some feedback for them. So I love that ability of yet another place, you know, that I can see that. But for me, it's also the amount of documents I contribute to. Often you forget where they are. And, you know, if I open up Word, the most recently viewed often becomes too noisy because there's too many things I'm looking at. And so being able to go to the office feed and seeing it chronologically actually helps me to find it easier. If I know I looked at it on Monday, I can kind of scroll back through and see what I viewed on Monday. So office.com is definitely, you know, it's improving all the time. And I'm loving how that's kind of turning out for us as an experience.
Cool. Right in time, we have another new question. What considerations are going into different accessibility needs for some of these new search features? And comes from Anna. Accessibility.
Yeah, I think I can take that a little bit. And Anna, honestly, this is a little bit about our realms. We need to like rope in some of the kind of the core search product managers in on this answer. But just to kind of focus on the accessibility at Microsoft, as an example, from an email, there was an email internally going around yesterday, actually, where we were celebrating reaching certain accessibility needs and measures for not only our, you know, search experience, but also our developer experience in particular. It is something that Microsoft we take very seriously because we want to make sure that we have the best experience for all users of Microsoft in the world and all developers in the world as well. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that. And actually, interesting enough, one of the hosts at Build, Donna Sakara, has actually just moved roles to go move into the accessibility space, which I think is really exciting because she's cared deeply about this for a long time. I'm not sure if we have a landing page where we talk specifically at Microsoft on how our different products cater for accessibility, but what I'll do is I would encourage you to ask Donna on Twitter. Her tweet handle is Donna Sakar, I believe. And you know, she'll actively help out there and point you to the right places. Someone has put up Microsoft.com/accessibility. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of effort that goes into that, not just in our products for end users, but even our developer products, that we care very, very deeply about the accessibility side, which is, you know, quite honestly one of the reasons I work here too. I love the fact that we care for everyone and making sure there's a good experience across the board.
Yes, I'm really excited about Donna joining the accessibility team. It was
great
new news. Yeah, cool. We've got a question from Jamil. How can I teach myself more about graph connectors?
That's going to be a good one. I can take a swing at that. Yeah, so there's a couple of areas where you can go for this, but really the main landing page that you want to go to is aka.ms/graph connectors API. This will be our developer documentation where you can go and see really kind of a step through of, you know, what's all required to go and create the connection, to go and ingest content, to be able to set permissions on content and modify the different kind of settings that are in there. So a really good kind of walkthrough of, you know, getting from point A to B to do the deployment, the ingestion, and all the other kind of pieces for that. But also you can just do some simple learning about what's available for this and other areas that you can get into. If you want to take another kind of step a little bit further, if you're more maybe developer focused and you want to see, okay, what are the actual raw HTTP requests that you'll be sending through Microsoft Graph, we do also have a Postman collection. And this is actually one that's going to be near and dear to Jeremy's heart because he led this about a year or two ago. And the idea is that for Microsoft Graph, there's a lot of times where we want to see, you know, samples in terms of, okay, well, how do I go and issue a query against the Exchange endpoints or to SharePoint or whatnot? And so just like we have with Graph Explorer, we do also have a Graph Postman collection, so aka.ms/graph postman. And very recently, we just added in support for the Graph Connectors APIs in there as well. So great to see this as kind of a unified front where, you know, it doesn't matter which API you're going against, we have samples for it. We have ways to show you, hey, go and get your authentication token. Go and get all the other pieces that will be necessary for this. Get you, you know, started on your way as quickly as possible.
That's great. Thanks for that. Yeah. So I want to give Nick the opportunity to plug his session because I don't think there's an Ask the Experts for it. So Nick, you had an on-demand session build on Data Connect. Do you want to just talk through what Data Connect is and where they can go to find out more?
Sure. Absolutely. Right. When you think about the whole graph dev story, there are really three main components to it, right? There's the REST API. I think we're all familiar with. They've been around for many years now. There's graph connectors, which is what we've been covering here. That's all about data ingestion. But there's also a third piece, which is the Data Connect, which is about exporting data in bulk. And my session was about how to get started with Microsoft Graph Data Connect, be able to extract different data sets. So, for example, being able to extract all emails from a tenant or from specific groups and be able to surface some insights and analytics based on those data sets through Power BI. So definitely encourage you folks to take a look at that on-demand session. Thanks for putting me in the spotlight there, Jeremy. But yeah, absolutely. I strongly encourage you folks to take a look at that session.
That's really cool. I think we're on time now. Thanks everyone for joining, all the experts here. Thank you for joining in, and please give us your feedback in the chat. You can also look into the links for the next sessions that are coming up or the past videos as well. So thanks everyone. See ya.
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks, Brian, Nick.
Thank you so much.